Hello, I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and you come to me for hard facts. The world keeps turning, and you're trying to keep up.
The fight against coronavirus has the option.
But there's so much noise drowning out the news. Talking heads, broadcast messages, press releases. They're telling you their side, but you just want the facts. And that's why you come to me. I give you the statistics without spin.
Out of 116 million working age Nigerians, 35.5 million are employed full time. That's 30%.
I give you the context.
I give you the history.
I fight fake news with facts.
Kayode.
Let me talk.
No, Kayode, I will let you talk. Kayode, I will let you talk if you let me talk. Kayode.
That's why more and more Lagosians are tuning in.
Half a million Lagosians.
720,000.
970,000.
Over 1 million Lagosians. They know that if you give me your afternoon, I will give you hard facts.
Well done, Sandra, on all you do. Going beyond the headlines and focus on the facts.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts.
Hello, Lagos. Good afternoon. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. First hard fact of the day, the Lagos Police Command has arrested six suspects for the murder of David Sunday Emor. They are Dahiru Ayuba, Susan Moses, Christopher Dowda, Joseph Teller, Chigozie Anthony, and Sunday Azee. We're going to be following this case, and I'll bring you every update right here on hard facts. Second hard fact of the day, so far, four dead and five survivors have been brought out of the collapsed building in Onike here in Lagos. 1 million Lagosians cannot be wrong. So if you are tuning in for the first time, you are in great company. Thanks for tuning in. I have a great show for you. Let's start with a big weekend. Let's talk about the marches for Pitobi. And then let's talk about the federal government paying ASUU's arrears. And then let's talk about emirs in Zamfara replaced for supporting terrorists. And then we'll talk about the new tax on phone calls. It was a big weekend, Lagos. At 4 o'clock, we'll switch gears and bring you the first semi-final debate between Kowia versus Hamid Olarenwaju. Their beg to differ debate tournament enters the semi-final stage. On today's big hard fact, let's go to Anambra State and talk about the violence there. 5 p.m. Don't miss it. As usual, we'll bring you the latest updates from the news, sports, and business world. But right now, let's get into the big weekend. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, and these are your hard facts. Nationwide marches for Peter Obi influence the PDP delegates. Should ASUU remain on strike after one of their demands has been met? Will the replacement of emirs in Zamfara discourage collaboration with terrorists? Is a one kobo tax on phone calls for funding healthcare acceptable? It was a big weekend, Lagos. Let's talk. On Saturday morning, Peter Obi supporters marched for their candidate. If you are watching our live stream right now, I'm showing you footage after footage after footage of that march. It happened all over the country. There were two marches here in Lagos, one in Lekki, one in Ikeja. There was a march in Jos. There was another one in Owerri, and there was one in Abuja. That one happened, went all the way down to the PDP headquarters at Warata House. Our live stream is Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. We're streaming live on YouTube as well. You can see for yourself these young people, old people, marching. The mobilization for these marches started online. It started on Twitter. You had various groups of Obi supporters on Twitter who started trending hashtag 1 million march for Peter Obi. So I want us to talk about that for a bit, yeah? But you can keep watching Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. That's where you can see all of the footage that I'm currently sharing with you. So, you know, any time that there's a conversation about online activism, you often hear a lot of Nigerians, especially older Nigerians, who say that online activists are not serious. And that Twitter cannot change anything. You often hear that. But here you have, with this Obi march, another example of online agitation causing offline action. We saw the same thing with NSAS, for example. Again, there, online talk became online organization, which coordinated offline protests. And speaking of NSAS, during those protests, you heard lots of elected officials tell the protesters that this was the wrong way to use their numbers. You kept hearing things like, oh, if you want to change things, wait for the elections, right? So, me, I'm wondering, do you think that what we witnessed 2 days ago with young people mobilizing for Obi is the start of a new political era where young people use social media to coordinate political action during the election season? Do you think that we're going to see more of this? If you think we're going to see more of this, what do you think it could lead to? Obi supporters say that the goal of the marches is to convince the PDP delegates to give Obi the ticket. They want to show that their candidate has widespread, enthusiastic grassroots support. There was also a march in Borno as well. Especially among young people, they were trying to show the delegates that Obi has support among young people. They're hoping that it will convince the PDP delegates that Obi can win a general election against whoever President Buhari's APC gives the ticket. And I want to know if you think that strategy can work. All the political operatives who listen to the show, the big political heads, I want to hear what you think about this move by Obi supporters. Do you think that party delegates will be swayed by displays of grassroots popularity like mass marches? Do you think that watching those marches will make some of them vote Peter Obi because they will say, wow, we need that crowd in February? Or, wow, if we don't give him, these guys will not vote. I don't know. What do you think? Or do you think, I beg, it makes no difference whatsoever? Because when you talk to political insiders, they'll tell you popularity is just one of the many factors that they consider before voting a candidate in the primary. But let's talk. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. That's for women. 0700-993-993-993. That's for men. My question is, if party delegates are not voting for the most popular candidates, are they jeopardizing the party's best chances of winning an election? Does this mean that indirect primaries are a less effective way of choosing a candidate than direct primaries because they don't fully test the aspirant's popularity? And what did you think about the Obi marches, the Give Us Obi marches? What did you think about them? Especially the fact that it started off online on Twitter. 99.3. Hello. Thanks for calling. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for calling. Hello. What's your name? Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
It's MI from Akoka.
Welcome, MI.
Sanja, when the rope starts to walk on its own, it's no longer a rope. You call it this.
You call it what? A snake?
A snake. Any rope that moves on its own is no longer a rope. It's now a snake.
Okay, wonderful.
So they said that online they are making noise. Mm. We disproved it. Let me tell you, what is going to happen if the delegates don't give Peter Obi is going to be a calamity for the PDP. They're going to go into extinction. Do you understand?
Okay.
Young people have said that you're not going to collect money. They're going to support our candidates free of charge.
Okay.
Whether APC or PDP, we are tired of money politics. All those only JBO can engage, so those errors are gone. Do you understand?
Okay.
We are not going to sell our birthright.
Okay.
If the delegates, if they collect dollars and vote somebody and get somebody else, no problem. I got full now. We go meet for junction for election. They are going to go into extinction. Hope that 50 dollars they collect will last them till 2032 because nothing for them. We are not playing this time. We don't suffer enough. No playing.
MI, thanks for calling. Wilson is on the line. Hi, Wilson. Hello, Wilson.
Yes, please.
Good to have you on the show. You're live on air with Sandra now.
Oh, President Sandra, good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir.
I'm happy to reach you today. I've been trying your line.
I'm glad you're here today.
Your program.
Welcome.
Thank you, ma'am. My name is Wilson. Please, I want to comment on the ASUU strike.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to say that the money the arrears the federal government started paying is not really a demand. It's our entitlement of ASUU.
Okay.
Because it's their salary.
It's not
federal government. It's not any compensation to them. It's their salary they are be deducting. Instead of paying them complete, they are deducting it so they give them back. So the main demands, federal government have not touched it.
Okay.
They are still negotiating it. So that area is not something that will make us sure anybody return back to class.
Okay.
Because federal government have not done anything at all. They have not. So thank you very much. That's all I want to say. As for Peter Obi, can I comment on that?
Yes, of course you can.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. I believe if PDP can go to primary and make it free and fair, Peter Obi may emerge as a PDP candidate for the presidential election that will be coming up next year. So I believe that except he did not give or he did not go to that primary free and fair, let them just open ballot. Let everybody go. Anybody that come out, great. Whether Peter Obi, whether Atiku, whether Wike, whatsoever that come out, all of us will support him.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And God bless you, man.
All right. Thank you. We've got Olumuyiwa on the line. Good to have you on the show.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome. Go ahead.
Long time. Yeah. I have two things to discuss. This, the pass that we are going to pay for calling, can I say something on it?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, the Fed, like me now, where I work, if I collect my salary, they remove my pass and pay into the account of the government.
That's right.
Now, for me now to now call this radio station, MTN has already given me information that when I drop this call now, they will tell me the fact they deduct from my call. Now, one of our Counselor General of the Federation, the 80 billion naira in his account that the EFCC now trace is not enough for them to give us good hospital. So now it is our 13 kobo for 5 kobo now they want to gather. That's what the news tell us, so that they want to gather our 13 kobo to give us hospital. I pray Peter Obi will make difference. This time around, it's no longer a business as usual. I pray that Peter Obi, they are afraid of evils, and I know the reason. They don't want that table to be scattered. But I know that we have a God that will scatter that table because we are not enjoying food from that table they are gathering. In conclusion, the police are giving us their own report, Abi. Why is it that it is only police that give journalists reports? In those days when I was born, it is journalists that give us reports, not police. So why is it not that it's police now that giving us reports? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Olumuyiwa, for calling. We've got Nasiru on the line. Hi, Nasiru.
Yeah, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, my name is Matthew.
Oh, Matthew.
And,
okay, welcome.
Yeah. You see, right now I'm calling from Ikeja.
Okay.
Okay. And I was also part of those Peter Obi supporters that marched at Ikeja.
Okay.
And also, all this was done online. We governed ourselves online. We contributed our money online. And this match was not just to show the PDP that Peter Obi has supporters. It's a threat to them that if they don't give us Peter Obi, we are the structure. We are going to vote him in any other party he goes to. And once the PDP fails to give us Peter Obi this time, See, it will take the grace of God for them to remain a party because they are going to be disgraced in 2023.
Okay.
So this match was a threat to the PDP. Let them do their money, whatever thing they are doing in their party, and don't go to Peter Obi. And they will see, they will meet up at the poll. And this is what we, that, this is the reason why we came out on Saturday to match that match for Peter Obi. It was free, self-funded. I will say I'm going to fund Peter Obi when he emerged as a candidate from any platform with our money. And I'm going to push our candidate till he gets there.
Okay.
Whether PDP likes it or not.
All right, Matthew, thank you very much for calling. By the way, the APC has postponed the screening of its 2023 presidential aspirants. It was supposed to happen today, but they've postponed it indefinitely. You heard on our news at 3 that Felix Mwoka, the party's national publicity secretary, announced this yesterday. He said the party regrets any inconveniences caused by the postponement, that a new date for the exercise will be announced very soon. I mean, you have no fewer than 25 aspirants who are supposed to be screened by the APC, by the APC Presidential Screening Committee. You have people like the Vice President, Yemi Osinbajo, Senator Bola Tinubu, Rotimi Amaechi. You have Senator Godswill Akpabio. You have Dr. Obonayo Onu, Senator Rochas Okorocha, Senator Ibikunle Amosun, Pastor Tunde Bakare, Professor Ben Ayade, Governor Dave Umahi, all these people are in the race. Kayode Fayemi is also in the race. Kenan Namani is in the race. Yaya Bello is in the race. Mohammed Abubakar of Jigawa State is also in the race. And you have the Senate President, Dr. Ahmed Lawan. You have Senator Ahmed Yerima, former Zamfara Governor. And then you also have Mrs. Uju Kennedy Onenye, the only aspirant who's a woman in the APC, former House of Reps man speaker Dimeji Bankole is also running, Pastor Nicholas Nwagbo is also running. Lots of people running on the platform of the APC, but they're all going to wait to find out the new date of the presidential screening. Okay. Well, we've got 1 minute before we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a bit more about the ASU minimum wage arrears. That's our second story. Also broke over the weekend. Still coming up, two former emirs in Zamfara have gone on trial for alleged ties to terrorist groups. And details about that phone call tax still coming on today's big weekend. But for right now, hello. Thanks for calling. Sorry about that. 99.3, hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon. I'm from Ejike Chukwu.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Auntie?
Gozikwagi.
Give me 30 seconds to buttress about our head and saying that social media protests will not work.
Okay.
Auntie? You have protested 2 months ago. You were asking me, I am saying that women should protest for us. You asked me, say, where is our men? When our men are going to protest? That's my question. Concerning PTOP, and anybody can march, and I can even march for you to win more awards by asking me, do you have facts? Are you hearing me?
Okay.
So what I want to say is that PTOP, what he's doing is good. I support him. Apart from that, China, when they take compare, what he could do. So, but let them do free and fair and open ballot primary. Let me reiterate. Free, fair and open ballot primary.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about ASU. Let's talk about the chiefs in Zamfara who have been arrested. And let's talk about that tax on your phone calls. The phone calls you're making to Nigeria Info FM. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station.
The federal government has started paying lecturers their minimum wage arrears. ASU has confirmed that its members have started getting their alerts, but the union says it won't call off its indefinite strike over this because its core demands have still not been met. In a memo to lecturers, ASU said, quote, the leadership has been inundated with calls concerning the recent payment of the long overdue arrears of the consequential adjustment of the minimum wage. Our members are reminded that this is not one of the core demands upon which the ongoing strike action is premised. For the avoidance of doubt, the demands of our union are the conclusion of the renegotiation of the 2009 federal government ASU agreement, abrogation of the fraudulent and corrupt IPPIS scheme, and the deployment of UTAS, payment of promotion arrears, proliferation of state universities, and governance issues, amongst others. While our union welcomes this unsolicited payment, our members should please conserve the funds and spend wisely so as to energize our struggle until all our demands are satisfactorily met. Our union commends the resolve and sacrifice of our members in enthroning a university system that is globally competitive. United we bargain, divided we beg. A people united can never be defeated. Solidarity forever. End quote. So that's ASU's position. The union is welcoming the federal government's payment of those arrears, but it's not enough for them to end the strike, not until their other demands are met. Do you agree or disagree with ASU? Men, call me on 01-0700-993-993-993. Women, call me on 01-465-7190. By the way, Law Tech Management announced that the school's academic session will resume this Thursday, but the school's ASU chapter has dissociated itself from this and insists that lecturers are still on strike. Share your thoughts with us on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube Nigeria Info FM, WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Good to have you on the show. Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon to you, sir. What's your name?
All right, my name is Kingsley.
Welcome, Kingsley. Go ahead.
All right, I want to comment about B2B 1 million match.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, I just want to let them, I just want the delegates, okay, to know that this time it's not business as usual,
okay?
Whatever it will take for us to get Peter Obi on board, even if it require we putting in our money, it will be. So, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. 99.3, hello.
Hey, Auntie Sandra.
Sir, what's your name?
This is Eze from Odogwolu.
Eze, welcome. Go ahead.
I see, let this federal government, they know what to do. Eh? Let them do it fast now. Our children, they are suffering now. Eh? I've seen two students, 300 level, that are pregnant in their father's house now, presently as I'm talking to you. What are they doing? They know what to do. Let them do it in time. Eh? And for the other comment, I don't know whether if I'm have right to come.
Yes. Talk about
okay.
All of them.
Okay. You see, for Nigeria to be peaceful and to come back to the normal stage we find ourselves before, let Nigerian government and let the politician know the right thing to do. Peter Obi is qualified and we both are not troublemakers. Then they never have that fear that if president is being handed over to Igbo man, that Nigeria will divide. Nothing like that. Nobody put that as an agenda. What is our grievances? Since the origin of Nigeria, Igbo man has never been a president of this country. That is what is in every Igbo man's heart. So once Igbo man enter there, peace will return for Nigeria.
All right. We've got Kehinde on the line. Kehinde is joining us from Helsinki, I believe. Hi, Kehinde.
Hi, Sandra.
Good to have you on the show. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Can I comment on Peter Obi?
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is my opinion. I honestly think the way they structure, the federal structure is I don't think they will give Peter Obi the ticket. But what I feel is this. They should look beyond 2023. Because if indeed PDP refused to give him the ticket, then he already has a background to create a force. He can use this particular structure that he has created for him to have at least over the whole country, having 1 million people march for him. Then there is, that means they can actually start a force that will really challenge these two parties that have held us by the jugular. So for me, I'm looking beyond 2023 for him. I'm looking for 2027. I don't know whether Nigeria will survive till then. But if indeed it survives, I think we can start capitalizing on this kind of support and awareness that has been made already for him, and create a purpose and create a party that is not based on delegate structures where they pay money, but where people can crowdfund. People are willing, ready to crowdfund for him. So I think this is my own sincere opinion.
Thank you very much for calling. Let me take you to Zamfara, where two former emirs have gone on trial for alleged ties to terrorist groups. Earlier this year, the state government accused the emirs of Dansa Dao and Zumi of being involved with so-called bandit groups. They've been deposed, they've been replaced as emirs, and now they have been formally charged. I'm talking about this because when the insecurity in the Northwest comes up, questions about who is helping the terrorists comes up. We hear questions about who is funding them, who is giving them political and social cover. We've had examples here and there of traditional rulers getting implicated and suspended or deposed. But now we have it going one step further with arrest and trial. And I want to know if you think this development will help the situation. Do you think it will lead to the police and other government agencies going after more powerful people who work with the terrorists? Could that help break their power in the region? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling.
Hello, Sandra.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Good afternoon. My name is Chukwemeka.
Welcome, Chukwemeka.
Okay, I want to talk about my brother, Peter Obi.
Okay.
Okay, you know, I normally say that if PDP really want to pull weight in this election, I always look side of the North. But to be frank, believe me, I'm beginning to see that through Peter Obi is no longer pushover. So what I think PDP should do now is to look side of Obi and conduct a free and fair primary election. Nobody should use money to push anybody. Because now I really more match for Obi self. We are planning more for him. Because Peter Obi is not because let's put our brother or put our side. Right candidate that Nigeria truly, truly, truly needs at this point in time. So I've had so many all these concerns.
Okay, let's not campaign, okay? It's not yet campaign season, so let's refrain from campaigning. We've got Tarila Murphy who says, I was part of the 1 million march for Peter Obi, and I must say, from what I personally saw on the streets, that people love the man. If delegates refuse to give Peter Obi the ticket, it will be bad for the PDP. We have more messages on Twitter. Chukwu D says, kudos to the organizers of 1 million march for Peter Obi. The successful march last Saturday is currently... Oh, okay. Sun Prince says, go get your PVC and quit assuming. More people talking about the 1 million march on social media. Let me take a break from Twitter and go to Facebook. Theophilus says, when I hear people say the Igbos say give the Igbos the presidency so peace can reign, it makes me want to ask if the Igbos are Theophilus, that's an interesting comment. We've got Marichala Adola who says Obi really is just a waste of time. Peter Obi cannot win a president of this country. All right. Vincent Obunaya says, Obi has all it takes to bring Nigeria out of the horrible pit we found ourselves as a nation. I have my PVC ready. We've got Joseph who says, wow, so lots of Peter Obi comments on Facebook. Okay. Let me come back to the phone lines. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, hello, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name?
This is Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, welcome. Go ahead.
Because of the structure of our country, you know, population matters in election. So that is why I don't see the Southeasterner being a president. However, if it was deliberately zoned, and that can only happen if the powers that be agree, if it can deliberately zone to that zone, for 2023 election, I think they can have a president. But I see them having a president in 2027.
So Jonathan won election and he did not need the population that you were talking about earlier on. He won the South, the Southeast, the Southwest, and the Middle Belt.
The part that we are behind that.
We're behind that, okay.
Yes,
okay.
We're behind that.
All right, thank you very much. We've got a final story. Let me get into it, and then I'll just take your calls at once. There's a new tax on phone calls. I'm sure you know that by now. It's a 1 kobo per second tax. Last week, President Buhari signed the National Health Insurance Authority Bill into law. And among other things, the new law creates this new tax. The law says the tax money will go towards the Vulnerable Group Fund, also created by the law. This fund is intended to provide free health care for pregnant women, children under 5, the physically and mentally challenged, and those living in extreme poverty. Like I said, the tax is 1 kobo per second. Currently, my calls cost 11 kobo per second. So this would take the call up to 12 kobo per second. So that's about a 9.1% increase. So if you currently spend about 2,000 naira per week on calls, you'll now be spending like 2,200 naira per week on calls. And there's mixed opinions about this. You have those who say that this tax on phone calls is coming at the wrong time. You know, we recently heard from the telecoms providers that they need to increase their own prices because of the cost of diesel to keep their masts on. So there's a fear that this tax could increase, you know, could soon be followed by a general price increase. All this at a time when consumers are feeling the pinch in their wallets and from all angles. But on the other hand, some people say we need to raise taxes to fund healthcare, especially healthcare for the most vulnerable Nigerians. And for them, a tax on phone calls is perfect, since it will be minimal for every user, but add up to a lot of money. How much are we talking about? Let's do the math, right? So I did some research. According to NCC, in 2020, the total duration of billed calls was 151 billion minutes. 151 billion minutes. So that's 9.06 trillion seconds. So a 1 kobo per second tax would net the Federation 9.06 trillion kobo, or 90.6 billionaire in 1 year. Now, of course, like Muyiwa, and I'm sure a number of you have expressed, there are questions about how that money will be managed, how that money will be used, because the law creates this vulnerable groups fund, and the money is supposed to be spent to give these groups good health care. But critics are questioning whether the government and the healthcare system have the processes and transparency in place to identify the intended people and cover their health care with these funds without the funds getting diverted. And I want to know your take on this. Do you mind a 1 kobo per second tax on your phone calls to fund healthcare for vulnerable groups? Pregnant women, physically challenged, really poor people, mentally challenged. Do you think it will be managed properly? Do you think the amount is too high? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us. Hello. Is anybody out there? No. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Good to have you on the show. What's your name?
I'm Aki from Agua.
Welcome, Aki. Go ahead.
Yes, Sandra. Mm? These people, they are a huge joke, honestly.
Which ones?
The government.
Okay.
The people that are imposing fire taxes on us.
Okay.
Now, recently, one of the government in Northern States bought limousine of about 50 million for about 250 MERs. Hmm? Hello?
Okay, I'm listening. Which government? Who did that?
I think, what's the name of this guy? I forgot it, but he bought it. It's in the news now. He bought it for the, it was in the news. He bought it for the MS.
Okay.
For whatever this is. That is best known to him.
Okay.
And don't we have vulnerable people there? And they are not looking at all the loopholes where this money. Recently, they asked the DMD of NNPC how much is being swapped for the crude we import, and how much the quality and quantity of the oil, that is being produced every day and that is being exported. He cannot give an accurate answer. Now they are feasting. They are prepared to feast on us now. Eh? Wow.
No. Hello. I'm here. I'm listening to you.
I'm just, God will fight for us, yeah?
Akin, thank you very much for calling. Akin sounds tired. 99.3, hello. Hello.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, my name is Dambaba.
Dambaba, welcome.
Thank you. Can I talk about Peter Obi?
Yes, you can, please. Just don't campaign.
No, I'm not campaign. To be honest with you, I'm a supporter of Peter Obi, mm-hmm. and I wish he become the president of Nigeria.
Okay.
But the reality on ground is that Peter Obi cannot even win PDP presidential candidate.
Okay.
Unless if we are deceiving ourselves. If you listen to Peter Obi, he's not the type that wants to throw money around.
Okay.
And in Nigerian politics today, you can't win even a local government chairman ticket without having some, you know, financial power. No talk of president. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Now, I read somewhere, if that means it's true, that some candidates or aspirants keep $10,000 for each candidate. You think they'll be have that financial muscle? Forget Nigeria. Nigeria will always push you. I will support you. I will do this. I will do that. What you are talking about is not 50K, not 5K. You are talking about dollars. People will tell the election is expensive everywhere. So I think Peter Obi should try and, you know, fight for vice president as it was in 2019. I think from there, he can emerge as the president of Nigeria. Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Buchi is on the line. Hi, Buchi.
Sandra, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Welcome.
Sandra, if they can loot pension money, this one has more case. Even before they will even gather the money together, this APC, they're going to the money. So you see all these things they are doing. God will judge all of them. From Buhari to the council of APC, God will judge all of them.
All right, Buchi, thank you very much for calling. But I don't think that the pensions money situation happened under the APC administration, or did it? I'll have to, you know, do my research, like do like a quick Google search. I think that happened. Was it Maynard that did that? I'm not sure now, so let me just keep quiet until I do a Google search. 99.3, hello, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good evening.
Good evening. What's your name, ma'am?
Joy calling.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Can I talk about Peter Obi?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
I'm in support. Then again, Nigeria, if they don't shine their eye this time, another 8 years suffering is coming. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling, Joy. 99.3. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon to you. Hello.
Sandra.
Yes.
Hello.
I can hear you.
Sandra.
Good afternoon.
Chidima.
Chidima, welcome. Turn your radio off so we can hear each other.
Okay, I've done that.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
My take is on the federal government charging the network company.
The tax, yes.
Sandra, they are now shifting their responsibility on the masses. Is it not the federal government responsibility to take care of the people they are ruling? The women, the children, and the disabled ones. Is it not their responsibility?
Yes, but they don't do it for free now. It's tax that does that.
But this thing they are doing, and we are still paying tax.
Yes.
We are still paying tax, and now they are bringing this one again. It's not fair. This present government want to make sure that they create everything that Nigerians have, in short, that they make us cripple before they will leave the office. And God will not allow it for them.
All right, Chidima, thanks for calling. But that's the thing. Taxes, you know, ideally, let me preface by saying, ideally, taxes are supposed to cater to this group of people for whom this particular tax will be catering for. Taxes are also supposed to cater for other things, electricity, roads, you know, hospitals. Because remember that this particular tax is catering to a subset of people, a group of people. But the larger group also use public hospitals, and your taxes pay for that. Like, we don't even pay as much taxes as we should be paying in Nigeria. That's why when Nigerians move abroad, one of their biggest complaints is the tax they have to pay. You pay a lot of taxes when you live in countries like the UK, Canada, America. You pay a lot of taxes. The difference, of course, is in those countries, you see your taxes working for you. Here, it depends on the grace of God. You know, and so it's understandable when people criticize policies such as this. But as far as taxes itself, you know, you can complain that people are overtaxed, but all of the experts will tell you that Nigerians don't even pay enough taxes. You know, now of course you have other experts who will say actually Nigerians pay a lot of taxes, the taxes are just not being collected formally. But that's a different conversation for a different day. We have to take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll bring you I Beg to Differ on 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away.
Mobile app by searching Nigeria Info FM on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Also, get news updates in sports, entertainment, news, and current affairs right on the app. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
We're finally in finals week.
How can you tell me that they're making less than they think they should be making? That is enough reason for them to cause discord in the entire Nigerian system.
But we're not at the final yet.
Don't you see that it's an infringement on my right as an individual to move? Because sometimes I won't want to pass that place because of the fact that I have to pay.
Only four debaters are left standing right now.
The IMF reported that the Naira are losing value, about 10% of the value annually. About 91 million Nigerians are suffering.
But that's two debaters too many.
The heavy expenditure on capital project is one of the reasons why government struggle to pay salaries of workers.
So before we can crown our champion on Thursday, two of the final four must fall. The semi-finals are next on the I Beg to Differ debate tournament. Monday,
I am Koya Selamu.
One winner.
My name is Hamid Olerojon.
One winner. Tuesday, one winner.
I'm Master Claudia Osemu.
One winner. 1 million Naira. Join me, Sandra Ezekwesili, my panel of judges, and my final four every Monday to Thursday from 4 p.m. on 99.3 Nigeria Info. This tournament is supported by ULesson, RLG Communications, and obiwizi.com.